Matthew 26. So I was at the Red Creek Association yesterday, and the man that brought the message, he preached from this passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to re-preach what he preached yesterday, yet he come across the statement, and it just kind of, sometimes it just jump out off the paper and it catch your attention, and it did. I couldn't shake that throughout the day, and even as I was studying it. It's what the Lord would have me to preach tonight. Very simple thought. But I believe we're living in a time we see that there's a false spirit that has risen up. And of course, it's been here ever since the beginning. But certainly we can see it in our day and time. And that is a spirit that even among, and not, this is not just out in the world now. This is even among God's people, that we want to bring God down on our level. That, you know, we want to just make Him. People try to make God cool, and they try to make God just one of the guys and the man upstairs, and just to bring Him down. I think you go back and you look as men at the Tower of Babel that tried to build up, and, you know, we will rise up into heaven. Oh, now, you know, God destroyed all that, and it wasn't just because they were trying to make a really high structure, but rather we're going to go up to God. We're going to rise up. And so God destroyed all that they were building and confused them, confused their languages. And so we see Nebuchadnezzar and how that he would look out over Babylon and say, oh, this great Babylon which I have built. And the Lord didn't like that he would try to put himself in the place of God and, you know, felt like he had done something great. And so God had him eat grass like an ox, drove him out into the field like an animal. And I think we get in trouble when we try to normalize God and use that word to, you know, try to just make him out to be normal and common. And at the same time, we should be bold to come before the Lord. And he is our friend. And we can be very close to Him and very have a very intimate relationship with Him. But there's nothing that's common about God. As the prophet would say, His train filled the temple. And when he saw Him, he said He was high and lifted up. And I believe we need to see God that way. And I want to try to just encourage us tonight, because it's so easy to get lifted up in self and kind of feel like that we know a lot, and try to feel like that we, you know, we have a lot of wisdom, we have a lot of knowledge in things. And we don't have anything except God give it to us. And I know you have to study to have knowledge, and yet still to even have understanding, you have to ask God, and God gives it to us. To have wisdom, we ask God, and He gives it liberally to His people. And so it's God that gives it to us. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. So tonight, what I want to do, very simple, I want to draw a contrast between two men that's speaking to the Lord. And the first man is Peter. As Peter is speaking to the Lord, Jesus let he and all the disciples know that every single one of you are about to deny me. Every one of you are going to be offended in me. Things are about to get tough, and you are about to, you're about to scatter. You're about to be, you're going to deny me. So Jesus lets them know that. That's the Word of God. It's going to happen because it is the Word of God. And yet, Peter somehow, and I know he has a very close relationship with the Lord, but he says, though all men shall be offended because of you, I never will be offended in you. I'm not going to. Now think of what he just did now. He said, you're wrong. You're wrong. He didn't say it in those words, but Jesus said one thing. No, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be a different way. That's saying you're wrong. And Jesus, he didn't rebuke him there. He said, Peter, I tell you, before the night's over with, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So they all know, you've got this wrong. We're not going to deny you. You've got this wrong, Lord. What I want you to notice is the boldness. The brazen dispute with Jesus, who is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I know we apply that to salvation so often, and it does fit there. And yet, He is the truth. And it does not matter how much you know or how much you think you know, when there comes to be an error, it's with you. It's never with Him. There's never an error with God. And yet Peter, and I believe this, I believe if Peter had just stopped and thought about it, he knew and believed Jesus knew him better than he knew himself. And yet there's the heat of the moment, and there's a pride factor. You just called me out and said, I'm going to deny you. I'm here to tell you I'm not going to deny you. And so he lifts himself up. I won't say it like almost equal with the Lord. I know well as you do. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to deny you. Now, before we get hard on Peter, how about you? How often do you... Well, I know what the Bible says, but you ever done that? Maybe you don't even say it, but you know in your heart that's what you're thinking. I know what the Bible says here, but I'm about to have my way. I know what the Bible says about it, but I just think better. I know what I should be doing, but I know that the Spirit is leading, but you ever been there? Question the Word of God. Do things different than what the Word of God teaches, even though you know it teaches certain things. About to fly off the handle. I know I shouldn't, but I tell you what, I'm just not going to let somebody get over on me like that. I know the Bible says turn the other cheek, but I'm just not going to do that. We all do that. From time to time, we all challenge the Word of God. If we didn't, we'd be perfect, wouldn't we? So we all get lifted up from time to time. But I want to ask you this about Peter and this statement. Where is reverence here in Peter's statement? Where's reverence at? Where is submission at? God knows better than I know. So I'm just going to humbly bow out. If you say so. I feel like I know my heart, but if you say so, not my will, but thine be done. I mean, where's the fear of the Lord? Where's fear at? Now the next man, I said we're going to contrast two different men. The next man speaking is the Lord. Speaking to the Lord. We read that in Scripture. Don't my Lord said unto my Lord. David made a statement like that. My Lord said unto my Lord. Oh. Jesus went to pray to the Father. And he didn't go as a know-it-all before the Lord. And he didn't go as a rebellious son. He did desire to see this cup pass from him. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. So he has a desire, but then he defers. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so you see a fear of the Father. You see rebellion. I'm sorry. You see him submission there. Total, complete reverence. Father, you know best. You know best. And really what I want to draw your attention to is this statement that's made when Jesus went a little further and fell on his face. I just want you to get that picture just a minute. Jesus goes a little further and he falls down on his face for his Father. Just that thought, brother, that does something to me. It cuts my legs out from under me a little bit. It just does something to me to think Jesus, when he fell down on his face, I believe that should be the posture of all of mankind. We should be willing to fall down on our face. But we have become so casual with God the world over. We've just become so casual with Him. He is our Father. And we are to have an intimate relationship with Him. I believe even a friendship relationship with Him. Yet, there should never be a time in my life where I don't show God reverence. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and he said, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Whenever you address the Lord, we need to show him reverence. That's who he is. He's God. We're not. So Jesus fell on his face. Did he have to? My Lord said unto my Lord, he's just as much God as God is God. He showed us an example of how we're to come before Him. He put His face to the ground when speaking to His Father. You know what? He knew that every time. There's other times He didn't. Why now? Does it matter? One way or the other? There's times whenever the Bible said Jesus prayed looking up toward heaven. Looking up toward, he didn't have his eyes closed. Imagine that. He didn't close his eyes while he was praying. Jesus was looking around. He's looking up toward the Father. Intimate relationship with the Father. But here it's different. He falls to the ground. Here he brought himself low. Why? And again, this is for our example, and I want us to get it tonight. The reason is because there is a temptation here to have his own way. Not my will, but thine be done. I have a desire that this just pass without me going through it, but not my will, but thine be done. So he's showing us that there's times whenever maybe we're tempted to have our own way, and when we do, we need to fall down before God. He is to have His way. We are never to have our own way. He's to have His way. I want to ask you this tonight. Are you willing to humble yourself before Almighty God and just submit to His will? Or are you willing to defer to His wisdom? Are you willing to not lean to your own understanding? Are you willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Are you willing to give God the reins of your life? Are you willing to bring yourself low before Him? Because there's a lot of people, a lot of Christian people, that we've raised ourselves way up here. Well, Brother Brad, maybe they're not Christians. I can read in the scripture of many that were, that got lifted up in pride. King Saul did. King Saul got lifted up in pride. There's other men as well. Got lifted up in pride. Sometimes we do. We need to be willing to bring ourselves low. Look at John chapter 3. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John had the greatest compliment ever paid to man in his life, and that was Jesus said that John was the greatest man ever lived. Jesus said that. He said there never a man lived greater than John the Baptist. Don't get him confused with John, James and John. A lot of Johns in Scripture seem like. He's the greatest man. So that's quite a compliment. He didn't say it about Paul. He didn't say it about Peter. He didn't say it about any other man. He said it about John. John's the greatest man ever lived. Outside of the Lord. We're taking the Lord out of the running when we make that statement. So, the greatest man, by heaven's standards, saw a need to lower himself and lift up Jesus. What should that do to us? By heaven's standards, John is number one. I can tell you this, Brad O'Neill is nowhere close. Nowhere close. We're not even in the same notebook. And yet, if John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, John brought himself low when speaking of Jesus. Jesus brought himself low whenever he was speaking to the Father. When was the last time that you genuinely, sincerely fell on your face before God? And when I say that, I hope you understand, I'm not just talking about posture. I think posture is important in Scripture. And yet... There's many different postures you see. Time Jesus is looking up, times his face is on the ground. You go and read where Elijah put his head between his knees whenever he was praying. There's a lot of different things you see in Scripture. Sometimes it's sackcloth and ashes. But I'm not just talking about posture, but in your heart, truly humbling yourself. He must increase and I must decrease. I know I mentioned this already, but we want God to increase, but few of us want to decrease. Few of us want to get out of the way and let God have His way. We want to say, God, we want God to intervene and we want Him to bless and we want Him to take care of things. But are we willing to decrease? Are we willing to humble ourselves? You know, there's a verse that everybody likes to talk about God healing our land.
You know what's required? Somewhere in that, you've got to humble yourself. We have to humble ourselves.
I want to get the image on your mind tonight as we close. I want you to see your Lord and Savior see a need to fall on His face before God to set us an example of what we should be doing. How far should we fall before Him who gave life to us?
How humble should we be before Almighty God? Are you there? Are you willing to be there? Joe, you know, I believe we've got to a point where there's a lot of people in this world just not willing to humble themselves anymore. Not willing to, if I've messed up, I'm not willing to humble myself and repent. When I'm praying, I'm not willing to humble myself and really get serious with the Lord. Just go through the motions. That's fine. God is God. He can handle it. Just go through the motions. I want to encourage you tonight, church. Let's get serious with the Lord and truly humble ourselves before Him. Ask for something.